Listener.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto value.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. For my regular listeners, you already know the deal. For new listeners, welcome to the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. It's a new year, it's 2019. I hope the year so far is going great for you. But what this means for new listeners is as a new format, an exciting format. We are giving you the access to have a front row seat with us as a venture fund, how we see the market, what we see going on, what we see going down, phone calls that we're gonna be having, pitches that people are gonna come into our office and pitch us. We're gonna record that. It's gonna be a more intimate experience. It's gonna be more of a personal experience. It's gonna be way more exciting. And we're really, really excited to get down to business. So with that in mind, let's take the mask off. Today's show, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin price predictions for 2019. But before getting into that, I really want to go through what's been going down in the last 24 hours. So off the bat, we had the market cap rise by $6 billion to $136 billion. Price action to the upside, that's great to see. It looks like we're kind of bottoming out. The cycle could potentially be over. I mean, that's something that we're going to get into later in the show with more focus on Bitcoin itself. But it looks like we've bottomed out from the small drop down that we've experienced in the last couple of months from an $800 billion market cap down to 136, where we currently are at the minute. So it looks like we're kind of stabling out now, which is great to see. We actually had a really great call with Dunya Labs today. So let me go and get our in-house blockchain analyst, Oliver Mayer, to bring you up to speed real quick on what Dunya Labs is and what they currently do. Oliver, you got a sec? Yeah, come join the podcast. You got to bring him up to speed, man. Let's go. So Oliver, quick question. So for the listeners that aren't familiar with Dunya Labs, can you be so kind to give them a high-level overview of what they actually do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Dunya Labs is a blockchain technology company. They have many goals in the space, but the first their first project that they're really looking to bring to development and deploy is a dynamic resource allocation mechanism on the EOS blockchain.
So what's the current situation with that?
Currently, when you want to interact with an EOS dApp, you need to have a certain amount of CPU and net staked to your account. Now, usually when you open an account up, you will be given the bare minimum of CPU and net. And that might only be good for a couple transactions when the EOS network's really congested. So what that means is you have users coming to your dApps who are only able to interact with your dApp a couple times before they run out of net and have to wait 24 hours after that in order to interact again.
So what are Dunya Labs suggesting?
Dunya Labs is suggesting to do is to put the emphasis for deploying and staking CPU and net on the dApp itself. So as users come to the dApp.
But what happens if they run out of resources?
Dunya Labs' technology will delegate CPU and net to those users that are running low, allowing them to continue to utilize the dApp for as long as they want. And then as they move over to some other dApps, their technology realizes that and unstakes those delegated tokens so that the dApp doesn't end up paying for usage on another dApp.
And that's key because it takes that away from the dApp user to the dApp itself. And I guess it's similar to AWS or any kind of web server storage system. So listen, man, thanks for coming on. And are you excited about the project?
But as of right now, if nothing was to change on the EOSIO network, this would be a key solution.
Okay, man. So exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Oh, I love that, dude. Listen, thanks for coming on, dude. Appreciate it as always. We've got to get down to Bitcoin.
All right.
So with that in mind, let's get into a price prediction. And before doing so, I just want to put a quick disclaimer out there. This is not financial or trading advice. This is my own view on where I see Bitcoin at the end of 2019. So let's get down to business. So what I'm going to be going through, I'm going to give you my price target my target for the end of 2019, where I see Bitcoin trading. And I'm also going to go through potential catalysts and reasons why I believe Bitcoin will reach that figure. So the figure I believe at the end of 2019, Bitcoin will be trading at is $20,000. Now, a lot of you are probably thinking you just picked a number out of thin air. Well, here's some of my thinking and here's some of the points that really helped me with my decision. And I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days ahead of this show to really bring the most value, why I see Bitcoin trading at $20,000 at the end of 2019. And by the way, I see it probably going above that, but I think $20,000 is achievable. So one of the big things about Bitcoin is the store of value, right? That's one of the big value add benefits Bitcoin can bring. And if you look at economic meltdowns, hyperinflation, like we're seeing in Venezuela at this current point in time, Bitcoin is the perfect solution to store value. And on top of that, you have to remember as well, it has a limited supply. There isn't a situation where they're hyper minting Bitcoins. Like, that doesn't exist. There's a limited supply, it's 21 million. And also on top of that, Bitcoin has a well-known inflation schedule that it adopts. And that's definitely a key factor in many of these economic situations and meltdowns that we're seeing across the world. Turkey, I remember last year, they had a situation where they had inflation by, I think it was 5 to 10%. Bitcoin exchanges in that local area saw a massive price increase from the back of that. So what we're seeing is people moving away from traditional fiat in extreme situations and cases and moving into Bitcoin. So not only does it A, have a real value purpose, but B, also it makes a lot of sense and it's a way to get out and wait for the fiat system to basically sort itself out. Why would you want to keep your cash if there's a hyperinflation situation? It doesn't make any sense. Now, another factor that we have to talk about, since we're talking about Bitcoin price forecasts, is a Bitcoin ETF. Now, $20,000 hasn't factored in a Bitcoin ETF. We saw what an ETF did to gold, open up the gold market for new buyers, institutions to now enter the asset without taking physical delivery of gold itself and having the ability to trade in and trade out of that. So not only does it increase liquidity, it increases the ability for institutions, family offices, endowments, whatever that may be, to actually access the market itself. Now, an ETF is key. An ETF is definitely coming. I don't think it's a question of if, I think it's a question of when, but that could potentially be a catalyst in 2019 and something that I've definitely been thinking about. A big point is the fact that in a traditional equity portfolio, a way to diversify would be Bitcoin. Tom Lee, who is someone that I definitely listen to and I consume a lot of the content that he does on CNBC, he suggests that a traditional equity portfolio should have 5 to 10% of that value in Bitcoin itself. If you look back at 2017, Bitcoin started the trading year, well, started in January 1st around $1,000, $998, and climbed as high as I think it was $19,000 around that mark. And that did that by December in 2017. So I took that around, it took it a year to do that. So why wouldn't you want skin in the game? Why wouldn't you want to have exposure to an asset class that volatile? And yes, it is retail driven. And yes, the highs are very high and the lows are very low. But point in all, the technology, the underlying technology of Bitcoin is powerful. We are seeing many applications being built from the blockchain, which came from the original blockchain, the Bitcoin protocol itself. So that's another point. And you have to remember as well, when speaking about portfolios, you have to remember the ability and the on-ramps that are being created for large institutional investors, pension funds, so on and so forth, for them to have access to the space, right? And let's say if we had a small percentage of the big institutional players' capital, let's say 1% to 2%, that would make a huge difference to our market. That would bring us into a $1 trillion market cap. Right? And that could happen pretty quickly, but the on-ramps are still being built. 2019 could be the year for that. Let's look at BAKT, the BAKKT exchange, a global ecosystem for regulated digital assets. Bitcoin would obviously be one of the first assets to be traded on that exchange, and that would be a regulated exchange for institutions to then access. So that's an on-ramp. We had the Fidelity announcing that they were offering custody for digital assets. Bitcoin was one of them. Like, these are the on-ramps. This is what will allow institutional capital to come into the space. Yes, there's regulatory uncertainty, but that will be solved and that's being worked on as we speak. 2019 could be the year that we basically have clear regulatory guidance upon that. Let's look at Harvard. Let's look at Stanford and MIT. Those three colleges all have endowments. Now, let's break it down. Harvard has a $37.1 billion endowment. Stanford has a $24.8 billion endowment. MIT has a $16.4 billion endowment. By the way, these endowments have already allocated capital to crypto. Bitcoin is one of the assets that they will be investing or have invested into thus far. They've all announced that they will be allocating a proportion of that capital to this space. Now, they will also have exposure to venture firms with a focus on blockchain. But the key point is they will have exposure to digital assets. And that is a great milestone when they announce that, because as a serious money manager, as an endowment who manages a large amount of capital, they have decided to allocate a percentage of that. So that means a lot. So what we also are seeing is the likes of Goldman Sachs backing blockchain projects via their own venture funds, and other investment banks doing the same. They're not necessarily buying Bitcoin. They're not necessarily buying Bitcoin off an exchange. But for me, that indicates their level of interest. That indicates that they understand what's happening in this space. And you have to remember as well, they have a lot of clients. And if their clients want exposure to Bitcoin, they're going to have to figure out a way. And they want to figure out a way because they want to offer everything to their clients so they can make as much money as possible. Oh man, we're on a roll now. Well, let's take it how it is. So Bitcoin has just celebrated its 10th anniversary. It's been around for 10 years. This is significant because it shows Bitcoin has been around and it's here to stay. It has credibility. And I believe more and more people will come towards Bitcoin and be drawn to Bitcoin for that. You have to remember as well, we're in a bear market. One of the reasons why is a lot of questionable projects raised capital, raised funds, and now either, and those these are the projects, are either finished or facing near-term failure. I believe when fresh capital enters the space, what we will see that capital go to is the Bitcoins of the world and the EOSes of the world, things that are here to stay. And also as well, just on the equity market standpoint, we haven't seen the cryptocurrency market and the equity markets kind of correlate in any way. I mean, there isn't a strong correlation there. So it'll be interesting to see if we do face a financial crisis in the equity markets, you know, what that will really mean for cryptocurrency as a whole, what that will mean for Bitcoin. You know, will we see a situation where it is seen as a store of value by institutions? Will we see that playing through maybe for the mass retail trader? You know, these are the kind of questions that we can only really see play out when we enter that spot. So that's another big factor for this year. And you have to remember as well, in 2017, one of the key factors, and going into 2018 as well, was the fact that like momentum, all cryptocurrencies have momentum, right? And especially Bitcoin had a lot of momentum behind it. A lot of people were talking about it. And I believe, again, when we start seeing Bitcoin moving to the upside, and when we start seeing momentum going back in from the retail traders, right, the moms and pops out there, and from institutions wanting to get back in, when we start seeing that being attractive again, right, not only from a technology standpoint, but also from the perspective of an investment, when we start seeing it pass, I think, a $10,000 mark, I think it won't take a long amount of time at all to get to $20,000. Like, Bitcoin is extremely volatile. It moves quick. And we've witnessed that recently to the downside, unfortunately. But guess what? It moves quick to the upside as well. So that's something that we have to really remember in 2019. So that was my Bitcoin price prediction for 2019. And some of the key points that I really feel are behind and warrant the forecast price prediction. So listen, if you agree, let us know in our Telegram, SVK Crowd. If you don't agree, let us know. Even better, let us know in our Telegram. We're really interested to hear the discussions and your thoughts upon that. Remember, as always, to subscribe, man. Give us some love. Give us some subscriptions. And if you've subscribed, thank you so much. Leave a nice comment as well. It goes a long way. That's what we work for. That's what we work for day in and day out. It's for those comments, man. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. We love to read them. That's the only thing that makes us smile over here is when those comments come through. Thank you, as always, for your time and attention. Tomorrow's podcast, we're going to be giving a price forecast for EOS for 2019, which I'm really excited about. So listen, stay tuned for more. Thank you for your time and attention, as always. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.